Hey, everybody, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and this is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Folks, how's it going? Welcome to the Cripes Cast. Before we dive in, I just want to let you know I'm playing in Wichita, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, Evansville, Indiana, and Las Vegas. This is all coming in the next couple weeks. I can't wait to see you on the road. I hope I see you there, your bright shining face, and I hope on your way you do watch out for deer because the rut is on. Bow season started just last week, Colleen. Did you know that?
What's the difference between that and other things? Like, what's a bow? Like the bow and arrow?
Yeah. Hunting a deer with a bow is in season in Wisconsin.
Is that your preferred method?
That's my preferred method. You look like you've done some bow hunting. You got the bib overalls on today.
I knew you went to a farm this weekend to put up like a barn, so I decided to do farmer chic this week.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't put up a barn there.
What'd you do at the farm?
Well, I had some fun with a few buddies of mine. Yeah, we went out there and we just had ourselves a good old farm time.
Nice.
So we were actually at Apple Fest outside of Gaze Mills. My buddy has a farm outside there, and oh my gosh, those apples are. Oh, they are good. I'll tell you, they're in season right now.
Is it Honeycrisp?
Honeycrisp. What do I look like? I'm from Illinois. What's going on?
Did you know that Honeycrisp are actually from the University of Minnesota?
Are they really?
They were engineered there.
Engineered. I don't know what kind of apples these were. Honeycrisp are really good. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's what I usually get. But these are like candy. Mm. Candy apples without the candy on top of them.
Yeah,
they're really good. So, went over to my buddy John's farm and just hung out. It was just a good time to relax. Slept in a tent. It's good to sleep in a tent every now and again.
I feel like I get the best sleep in a tent.
Yeah, I could be hit or miss on that. But either way, like even if I don't get sleep, I feel like I wake up refreshed.
Right. It's so cold.
Or just because I'm probably going to be hiking the next day, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like you don't have any other option.
Yeah.
There's no phone, too. That was nice. Phone that really drains nice. You. Sucks it out of you.
It does.
Folks, this week I am talking with Kyle Kinane. He is a very, very funny comedian. You actually may know his voice. For a while, he was the voice of Comedy Central, telling you South Park's coming on next. But anyway, he's coming to the Pabst Theater on October 7th. His tickets are at kylekinane.com. Check him out. He's got a new stand-up special out. It's also hilarious. He's got two podcasts, No Accounting for Taste and Boogie Monster Podcast. And if you want to follow him, it's at Kyle Kinane.
Yeah.
K-I-N-A-N-E, just in case anybody's not good at spelling out there. But we bonded over a lot of things. I will say me and Kyle. Kyle comes from the Chicago suburbs, but thankfully he's not a Bears fan. And by the way, I'm sorry to all the Bears fans. It's been a rough season. But didn't Taylor Swift go to a Bears game?
Taylor Swift went to a Bears-Chiefs game, and it is like my favorite thing in the entire world.
Is it really?
I really love Travis Kelce, and I love his podcast with his brother. And I think they're just like, I love.
Wait. Did you know what Travis Kelce was before Taylor went to the game?
Yes.
Oh, how'd you know?
Because him and his brother have a podcast called New Heights. And then the Super Bowl last year.
Oh, okay.
It was like the Kelce Bowl.
Okay.
And then like I knew him that season. Like that's when I got to know him.
I see. Okay.
And then I already have loved his clips with him and his brother. And then there were rumors. The podcast I listened to was talking about that there were rumors that they were dating. And I'm like all for it.
Oh, because you're a real Swiftie.
I'm not like totally Swiftie. I wasn't like a few years ago because like she dated Harry Styles and that like
that's
is my
the love
man.
Of your life. Yeah.
But I am a big fan of hers and I'm excited to see her movie. But then also
she's got a movie.
Her tour that she's on right now. The Eras Tour is literally going to theaters next week.
Right.
Or something.
Yep.
But anyway, I just think she needs to go for an all-American man. And I think he's the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Do you even care?
I don't give a shit. But sorry. Do we have to beep that out?
Yeah, you're fine. He's hot, and I think she's hot, and I think that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm super, super happy for them both. Let's see here. What else? Oh, the Packers are looking good. Yeah. Enough about the Bears talk. The Packers. Holy smokes. What a comeback. What a comeback. And what a terrible kick by the Saints at the end of the game. I feel bad for the kicker.
Yes, mister. Actually, are you going to any Packers games this year?
Well, okay. I wanted to go to the game this past Sunday because it was, you know, first game at Lambeau of the season. Mm. The old Lambeau opener. Couldn't do that because my sister decided to schedule a baptism on that day.
Yeah.
You know, and then my other sister decides to schedule her rehearsal dinner for a wedding on Thursday when the Packers are playing the Lions. I'm like, I don't know who raised these kids.
Let's call it Molly really quick.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very fun though. It was fun watching my little nephew Caleb get baptized because he was mad about it too. He's like, why are we doing it? He cried the whole time. There were three babies up on stage or whatever they call it. And he was just having a fit the whole time. Just crying up a storm. Why? Because we were doing this during the Packers game. He didn't know the score. I knew the score the whole time.
Were you watching it
in the pew? You got it. That's how you do it. God sanctions that though. He's cool with that.
Oh.
Yeah. Talk to him about it before the game.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you were praying for them to win, you also were like, is this also chill?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, sure.
Yeah, I check every time I do it.
Okay.
Just to make sure.
Cool.
The rules.
You either check it's no, or you confess after. Is it better to ask permission or for forgiveness?
Yeah, I suppose we got both options in Catholicism.
Well, that's exciting, and I'm glad that was Bridget was telling me she's the godmother. So
yeah.
Her and I went and played pickleball.
Did you? You hang out with my sister more than I do.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, she's really good.
She never invites me to play pickleball.
You're so welcome to join us. We go to Hart Park.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Maybe I'll do that one time. That'd be fun.
Well, so Saturday I ran into Mary Kate at the farmer's market.
Mm.
And then later that day I was hanging out with Bridget to go play pickleball. And then I saw Emily because she's moving out of, or like they're moving stuff out of her place or something because she lives down the block from me. So I saw three of your sisters.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
It was a lot.
I don't even see my family that much.
Yeah. But then Bridget and I played pickleball and she taught me how to play. And then like when we first were playing the first time, she goes, we going back and forth and it's different because it's not tennis. It's not ping pong. It's like a weird in between. And we're starting to play and I'm starting to get the hang of it. She's like, okay, so I'll try now. And I was like, she's such a brat. And I kept calling her brat. And she goes, you're just like my dad. So she called me a dick and I called her a brat.
My dad's name's Dick for anyone who's new to the show.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's very good. Well, yeah. I'm glad you had fun with my sister. I'm glad I had fun missing the Packers games. And you know what? I was thinking about this too. Actually, someone came up to me at the bar and they said this. They said, it's a Packer game. I said, yeah, it's a Packer game. And they said, it's a Brewer game. Yeah, it's a Brewer game. They said, but it's not a Buck game. I said, no, it's not a Buck game. Mm. You ever think about that? Like other places in Chicago, it's the Bears game. It's not the Bear game. It's the Panthers game. It's not the Panther game. It's the Giants game. It's not the Giant game. But in Wisconsin, that's one of the unique things there. Packer game.
Yeah, I was going to say Cubs game, but again, it's plural.
Yeah, well, no, right. Would someone say I'm going to the Cub game?
No.
No.
Brewer game.
That
is weird.
It's unique to Wisconsin. Unique to Packers and Brewers.
Speaking of which, I can use your truck for the Cubs-Brewers game.
What, you asking on the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Okay, cool. See you there if you're tailgating.
All right. Well, looks like our week is all planned out.
Yep,
should we get to the conversation with Kyle Kinane?
Please.
All right, let's do it. So how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I just got off the road yesterday for a couple days, so.
Yeah, where were you? Where were you yesterday?
That run was Michigan, then New York, then Spokane and Boise.
Damn. So not super well routed, shall we say.
No, I did a real bad job with the routing this fall because I said yes to a lot of stuff without looking at the calendar. And I'm like, I don't want to cancel. So, all right, I guess I'm going to go from Humboldt County, California till Milwaukee
Next week, I think I'm going from Reading, Pennsylvania for a one-off show to Vegas. I don't know why I'm doing that. But other than, you know, I know why I'm doing that. It's the exact same reason you said. I get the offer. I'm like, yeah, that looks good 6 months before, you know, when it's spring.
It's going to be fine. Yeah. It's going to be fine. It'll work out. I'm sure somebody's got direct flights from Reading to Vegas, right? Because everybody loves Vegas.
Shocker. No, there's not even an airport there. Not even Philly can you get a direct flight. You been to Vegas? You done Vegas a lot?
I did Vegas. That sounds like you fly Spirit Airlines. Spirit Airlines, no matter where you're going, is going to send you to Vegas somehow. Like, I just need to get from North Carolina to Boston. All right, how about 9 hours in Vegas? And you're like, well, that's ridiculous. Flight's only $32. You're like, all right, you know.
That's it. That's the conspiracy. We figured it out because in Vegas, they got those slot machines. Spirit must own those slot machines. That's how they afford the cheap flights. That and the $25 water.
I was talking to somebody about how MGM got hacked. I don't know the whole story, but they got the casino got hacked and there was one of those, they were holding them hostage. And I was like, it's kind of hard to feel sorry for a casino that got done over. Like, oh,
yeah.
The house always wins. It's nice when they don't. It's pretty nice when they don't.
See, that's what hackers just have to keep in mind. It's just go after somebody nobody feels sorry for, you know?
Yeah. I got my debit card hacked 3 times in a couple months. This was years ago when everybody's PIN was 1234 or 6969. I got held up the same month. I got robbed at gunpoint the same month. My debit card got hacked 3 times and I had more respect for the guys that came at me with the gun. Cause I'm like, at least you're you're putting in the work. You're earning it. You're earning this. You're taking a risk.
There is a lot of, there's jail time. There's living with the possibility of, murdering someone. And even if you're a murderer, that's got to weigh on you, you know?
I think it's just blue collar versus white collar appreciation. You know, I'm like, this guy got out here tonight. This guy made it happen for himself.
Dude, that's the acoustic robbery right there. You know?
Yeah. Back in the old stagecoach style. I appreciate it. And I got held up in the same place my car had been towed from. So also the city of Los Angeles got more money out of me than the guy with the gun did.
Whoa. So you got your car towed and you got robbed at the towing facility?
No, I left a bar with my buddy and we couldn't, I'm talking 20 years ago and we were throwing them back, you know?
Yeah.
And I were like, I swear to God, we parked around here. I swear we were both new to Los Angeles. You don't pay attention to signs. I'm like, I swear the car's around here somewhere. And then we get robbed. And then we're like, oh, that sucks. All right, let's just get out of here. And I'm like, oh, I think we got towed. It was afterwards that I realized and the car got towed. We're trying to get the car out. And we need a credit card. I'm like, well, funny story there, buddy.
So you got robbed and extorted on the same night.
Yeah.
And no credit card.
You know, that's how you make your bones when you move to Los Angeles to be a comedian.
It is.
Lemons in the lemonade, baby.
I remember this one time, my minivan. I had a minivan when I first moved to Los Angeles, and I parked it on, I don't know, somewhere on Sunset, but more money in the gas tank than in my bank account, you know? And I saw it was getting towed, and I jumped in the car as he was doing it. I just drove away. He was in the process and he was like, I got your license plate. I was like, put a check in the mail, dude. I don't have a house.
I'm throwing these plates out. Yeah.
I'm sleeping in my buddy's closet. You're not going to find me, you know? So, yeah, well, yeah. I don't know how they get a hold of you in that regard. You know, I don't think they're giving you the ticket, you know? I don't know.
Who, the tow guys?
Yeah. I don't know.
I like the theatrics of seeing like a man getting his car repossessed is like the same as if you believe movies about when a man's leaving and the wife is like throwing themselves on the hood of the car, like, you can't leave. Like, that's the same theatrics a middle-aged man is getting his Porsche Boxster repossessed.
That's the most energy put into it.
Yeah. It's all I got.
I put all my money into this. I got my car repossessed the other day, actually. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know. Saw the wound. Sorry,
buddy. No, I mean, it was a silly thing. I just, you know, I didn't know. Long story short, I had, it was like a brand deal, you know, with the car. And there was this gap in the thing. And you know, when you get those calls, you know, I didn't know I was supposed to be paying for it, is the long story. I'm an idiot, is the long story short. But I was getting these calls and I ignored all of them. And I called the police and they were like, is there any way it could have been repossessed? And as soon as they said that, I started thinking about all the letters that I didn't open, you know, all the phone calls.
All the ways it could have been repossessed.
Yeah. I was like, you know, let me get back to you.
I like you're like, oh, I didn't know I had to pay for it. And it was a car.
I know. Well, it's kind of a thing that a grown man should do. It was like we were doing a brand deal with the thing. There was a lease and there was this gap period in the brand.
Yeah.
That, you know, I should have answered the call.
There's a strange element. And but to your credit, things like I just was like tidying up because I got back into town yesterday, picking up some papers and like tidying up my little station to do this. And I just found the tags for my car.
Oh yeah,
I was supposed to put those on 2 months ago. They were just laying on the floor. So we all make mistakes, Charlie.
I feel like anything that comes in the mail these days, like it shocks me the IRS still contacts you through the mail. You know, it's like who's opening those things?
Joe Zimmerman has the best joke about the taxes in general. Of like, all right, so I owe you money. How much do I owe you? Oh no, you have to figure that out. Yeah. So you don't know. Oh no, we know exactly how much, but you have to figure it out. And if you're wrong, you'll go to jail.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I gotta look up that bit.
I'll cut you slack. Yeah. I got hooked up with a guitar company. I cannot play guitar. And this guitar place is like, oh, we're just trying to do something different and give people guitar. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, so you want me to like take pictures with it and send it back to you? Like, no, man, just hang on to it. And it just does. It feels like, did you just steal these guitars? Like, do you work for the guitar company? Because me playing this guitar in a video will make it'll make people want your guitars less.
Yeah. It'll make them want to play the recorder. And that's a tough instrument to make people want to play.
I've threatened mountain bike brands with telling people that I'm sponsored by them. Like I wanted to extort them to give me free stuff because of how bad I am at mountain biking. And it's just such a cost prohibitive sport. I'm like, I'm going to start making videos, be like, oh man, thanks to Specialized for this free bike. And then I'm just really shitty. I'm like, but if you give me a free bike, I won't tell anybody anything.
That's the way to do it. Do you mountain bike a lot?
I do. I moved to Oregon. Well, I was doing it in California too. I'm real bad at it, but it's kind of nice to have stuff that you know that you're bad at. And so it's just there for fun as opposed to being a comedian, which is to be fun and funny, but is also can make you real sad when it's not going well.
I know. It really can. I like mountain biking a lot. I'm also not good at it. I like tried to do a jump when I first got the bike. And I didn't grow up doing jumps. I just grew up biking, you know, doing the trails. And I tried doing a jump. I was like, I'm good enough, you know. I almost broke my neck. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I almost was paralyzed from this little like 1 foot jump. I'm not doing that again. Not again. I've just passed the age. I think you learn it at a certain age when your bones are a little bit rubbery. And then if you pass it, you just, you're like, are you doing jumps or attempting them?
I do. But yeah, I was a coward my whole life.
Me too.
Like athletically, just a full chicken shit. my entire life. And I, for some reason now, when things are brittle and expensive, I now want to try these things.
Can you land them?
Some of the times. I entered a race this summer. I'm like, you know what? Just for the sake of being fun and being around the community, I'm going to enter a race. I was planning on coming in last, not in a low self-esteem way, just like, let me just get to the end of a race and see what it's like. I've never done anything outside of like being in soccer when I was 6 years old. I've never competed in a sport in my entire life. And I entered this race and I'm like, I did the practice run and I just put my, I didn't even crash. I put my foot down wrong and fractured the top of my shin bone. Like the tiniest little, like, I didn't even know it was fractured. I'm like, ah, it hurts. And I'm like, I took the shuttle to the top of the race. Because they like drive you up in a van to where the race starts.
Yeah.
And my knee hurt so bad that I had like, I couldn't go down, but everybody else did. So I was just up there kind of like, hey, could somebody come? I don't know anybody at the race. I'm like, could somebody come get me? I can't even finish the race. Oh, so I had to get driven down to the bottom of the racetrack. Like, yeah, maybe this isn't for me.
That's like I didn't grow up skiing, but I did later in life, and one time I had to take the ski lift down. That's the most shameful thing out there, you know.
Yeah, because you got to pass everybody going up.
Like, yeah, they're like, what happened to him? You fake an injury, you know?
Yeah,
you just can't go down a black diamond because you're like, I don't know how to do it.
Look at Puss Puss taking the easy way down.
Yeah. But on that race, like, are there like, you go off jumps and stuff on that?
Yeah, it was more just like a bunch of rocks and ruts, and it's not so much jumps as it is like you're at the top of like not a mountain but a hill or halfway up a mountain.
Yeah.
And then they just send you down this little carved out track.
Yeah.
And it's just neat. I always like bicycles and I just think they're fun, and I, you know, that's all. I'm like, yeah. I'm 46, like, what, how much longer do I have to do this stuff?
Yeah, right.
That I didn't do when I was a teenager and in my 20s, when you could still kind of heal from some of the things.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. I was a bike mechanic when I was in high school and in college, and so I kind of got into it then. But I don't know. I really like it. I enjoy going out in them. The thing about mountain biking though is like you're in some of the most beautiful places in the world, but mm-hmm. at least when I'm doing it, I'm only looking a foot ahead at what could kill me. You know what I mean? So I'm not even taking in the views as much. I'm just like right in that moment, you know?
As you should be.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be like, oh, look at how beautiful the scenery is. I'm almost hit a deer. That's like,
really?
That's a real good time when you're like, oh. Just like, I don't want to, like, it's not submersive nature I'm looking for. I'm just trying to be next to it. I want to be nature adjacent, you know. No. But I do laugh at like these macho dudes that are like these kids wearing helmets just to ride their bike down the street or skateboard. I'm like, have you seen what people on bicycles and skateboards are doing?
I know.
Also, like, oh, these kids, they don't want to work in the coal mines anymore. We're raising a bunch of pussy. Like, no, I think it's okay. Yeah. Have you seen what skateboarders are doing? They should have a helmet on. They're doing insane stuff right now.
Especially those street bikers these days. I'm driving behind them and they're just doing a wheelie for like three blocks, you know?
Oh, like going the motorcycle downhill. Dudes?
Motorcycle dudes or even the bikers with those big tires, those big mountain, those
20. Oh, yeah, just the wheelie dudes, yeah.
The wheelie dudes. They got bikes for wheelies specifically now, and they're good at it. I was never that good at that stuff. Oh, well.
So how much with Sky are you talking? Like, were you like three-wheeling, four-wheeling? What was your action? Dirt bikes?
Me as a kid or what?
Snowmobile. Yeah, snowmobiles.
Oh, okay. So, I did... I basically bikes, you know, and okay. I did a little dirt biking and ATVing if a friend had one. We didn't have any of that. I'm from a big family, so we didn't have a lot of those, like, more on the spendier toys, you know.
Yeah.
But I would just hop on a buddy's if he had one and usually find a way to break it pretty quickly. And that would add right on the back after that. Did you do any of that stuff?
No, I was too suburban for motorized
elements.
Also, Let me ask, are they called snow machines now instead of snowmobiles?
I think they're snowmobiles.
I heard somebody call them snow machines, and I'm like, when did we start doing that?
I heard that too. Yeah, no, sleds, some people will call them. I've heard the snow machines, but mostly that was like a one or two off. I don't know if someone's doing that on the regular, but that's such a weird sport, man. Have you ever been snowmobiling or machining? Yeah,
I think they're fun. It was always one of the, like where I'm from, it was like maybe once every three winters, somebody got their head cut off by a barbed wire fence. So it wasn't as frequent as other parts of it. It was always somebody went hauling ass under the power lines.
Dude, if you put the pieces together, though, it makes sense because that entire sport is just bar hopping on this sled that can go 100 miles an hour and they go in the dark. You know,
yeah, I did a show like early on, and the directions for the show were like, all right, you're gonna see, it was somewhere just over the border into Wisconsin. So I was coming up from, you know, just like suburbs of Chicago,
yeah.
And they're like, all right, you're gonna see a bar, you're gonna see a Green Bay Packers bar on the left, it's the bar that's behind that bar. That shares a parking lot, and it was a snowmobile bar. It was all dudes just parked all cockeyed in the with their snowmobiles.
Yeah.
That was the directions I remember specifically. You see a Green Bay Packers bar. It's the bar that's behind that bar. Like, they just shared the same lot.
Did you do a show
same
there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was either that. It was either snowmobile bars or like boat bars, like Chain of Lakes bars.
Yeah.
I remember doing those early on.
Yeah. So you spent a decent amount of time up in Wisconsin then, huh?
I did. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Geneva, Northern Illinois. Like, honestly, 20 years ago, wherever somebody was going to give you $50 and a half a rack of ribs to do comedy, you went, you know?
That was the deal. Like,
yeah. All right. I'll go. Yeah. Okay.
Where did you start doing mics and stuff in Chicago, or how'd you get your start doing it?
I started there. I started doing open mics in Chicago, and then it's fine because now living in Oregon, I see like the same element of like this, like the promoters, like there's good promoters and good shows, and then there's just guys that have driven to every bar in an 80-mile radius and promise to put on a show regardless of quality. Like, yeah. 'Cause they're getting like $300 to put on the show, and they're giving all the comics maybe $20 each and like a bar tab.
Yeah.
And it's so many shows just going to Rockford, going to work in Milwaukee. I don't know if like the comedy cafe in Milwaukee. I don't know if you ever worked that place.
No, that's gone now. That was the one that was under the strip club, wasn't it? Or was that Giggles? There was one.
I think that was Giggles.
Something. There was one like under the strip club. I forget where the comedy cafe is not there anymore. Now Milwaukee's got an improv, which is in Brookfield, and then the Laughing Tap, which is in the.
Yeah, you got legit stuff. This was like run by like a big Samoan gangster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, guy was terrible. There's always like these rumors. Like, I'm even scared to talk about it on a podcast.
You guys send me an email, take that part out.
Like, hey man, listen, let's just retape this and act like I never brought it up. There's all these stories about like him paying people with like a gun on the desk and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I remember working there. He's like, he had like a Cadillac with spinny rims, like a pearlescent Escalade with spinny rims, and he'd take you out to the steakhouse after the first show, like, yeah, best steak you're ever gonna have. You like shrimp? Best shrimp you're ever gonna have. And this place, they was open after, like, they were closed, but they stayed open just so this guy could bring the comedians over. So you're like, this guy does feel a little plugged in. This does feel a little bit special, and I'm gonna agree that it's the best steak because I'm afraid to disagree with this guy.
Yeah, Milwaukee's got like some interesting, like mafia and organized crime ties, you know. And like what I like about Wisconsin is like all the Chicago gangsters back in the day, Al Capone, John Dillinger, those guys would come up to Wisconsin to like vacation or something, you know, or have their hideouts. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Milwaukee always feels like that's where the true Chicago alcoholics go to retire. Like, I still want to sit in a bar. I just don't want all this youth around me. Like, I still,
right.
Like, I don't know if Wolski's is still open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. You ever all close right, that place? Get the bumper sticker?
I got the sticker. Yeah, nice. I got the sticker. I'm pissed that I don't know where the sticker is now. But I think I put it on an old file cabinet somewhere. But
you know, yeah. we can. You gotta just come up and close it again. You know,
the box of wigs that was in the corner. I was with friends. Like, we found this box of wigs. I'm like, man, don't put on those wigs. Don't put on. I'd rather see you find a possum in the street and put that on your head than a weird bar. Just share needles at this point if you're putting on random bar wigs.
The old bar wig box, you know?
Yeah. I was like, take a shower when we get back to the hotel.
Yeah. Probably more likely used as a merkin than anything else.
Yeah, man, this thing, this is touch. There's so much lice. You're going to get ticks from this thing.
So what was your main spot like coming up in Chicago? What was the main place you'd play?
The only club was Zany's at the time.
Yeah.
This is like the turn of the century, which is a phrase I can use.
Yeah.
Which feels weird to be a part of a turn of a century.
Kind
of
cool though. I haven't heard anyone really say it like that, but I like that. Yeah.
Back in the turn of the century. Yeah, it was Zany's, but Zany's wasn't really like, I don't know. They weren't like, you kind of had to, I don't know. To me, it felt like you had to jump through a lot of hoops to work over there. So this other scene came up, which I'll take a chance to plug. My buddy Mike Bridenstine wrote a book about that era of Chicago comedy, because it was kind of like, that's what put out like Kumail Nanjiani, Pete Holmes, TJ Miller. Everything was like the early 2000s scene, and it kind of developed. Not as a direct result of Zany's not released, but people were just like, we got to make our own thing.
Yeah.
We got to make our own scenes. Like Mark Geary, who runs the Lincoln Lodge. I don't know if you've ever been through that way. And then Lion's Den was the big open mic on Mondays. Like that was the show everybody got excited for, was this open mic on Mondays.
Really? And it was called the Lion's Den, or the show was, or the bar?
No, the bar was called Lion's Den. Yeah.
Got it. Now Lion's Den is like, it's the porno and CBD store in, you know, you see those ad.
Oh, it is like, the Lover's Lane or the.
Yeah.
I did, the truck stop. What's going on in those places that they're still selling magazines? Is that who's?
So they've diversified their business. You'll be happy to know.
Okay.
And they've got the, now it's erotic films in Wisconsin cheese and CBD. It's the CBD products. You know, they've got like the Delta 8s that like get you messed up on like God knows what they're putting in that stuff.
Dude. Oh, the pure synthetic, way worse for you than weed type of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, it's like loophole drugs. That sounds safe.
Seriously. Like Wisconsin's so weird. It's the only state in this general vicinity that hasn't legalized weed. So what they have is just this like, gotta be terrible for you, Delta 8 stuff, which, you know, I don't know what's in that stuff, but I can't imagine that they're going to look back on and say, oh yeah, that was a good idea. You know?
Well, I remember going past it into Oklahoma and seeing, I thought it was a weed shop and they were trying to like gear up for when it would become legal, but it was all that Delta 8 stuff. But it's also Oklahoma. So the weed shop guys also were like strapped up, like had guns on.
Yeah.
And them struggling to explain the science behind Delta 8, like, well, they've just chemically extrapolated the essences of the cannabinoid into this fractalized realization. You're like, I'm not going to buy it. So don't even worry. Save your couple of brain cells rubbing together up there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here just for the explanation alone. Yeah. One guy who's telling me about it pulled out a chart. I'm like, how do you know what's in that stuff? He pulled out a chart from the impurities in it. So you can see just how much lead is in this stuff. Yeah. You know, trace amounts of that and formaldehyde or whatever.
Yeah. But also it comes with rust proofing. So it's really, why wouldn't you buy?
Yeah. I mean, you want rust on your liver, dude? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's good for you. That's actually good. PVC is good for plumbing. Why wouldn't you want to ingest it? Kind of coat your organs. Yeah, that was, I wonder why Wisconsin's dragging her feet. Everybody else is cool with it.
I don't know. I think some to do with maybe the Tavern League, or like our politicians are pretending that weed is worse than booze somehow, which, come on. We're just missing out on tax revenue is what we're doing.
I'm saying your snowmobile decapitation rates. I'm not going to say they're going to plummet, but I think they're going to get a little lower.
People are going to go more along the... I mean, if you're stoned on a snowmobile at dark, you're going 15 miles an hour max, dude. You're looking out for the Yeti at that point.
Yeah, you know? Everything is barbed wire.
Yeah.
Everybody is somebody, yeah, like farm fence going across the field.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, everybody. Excuse the interruption, but just want to shout out the amazing sponsors of the Cripescast. First and foremost, Jolly Good Soda. You know how much I love my Jolly Good Soda. And what's exciting is that they are in the running for the coolest thing made in Wisconsin contest this year. Now, if you'd like to vote, that'd be really cool if you did. Links can be found on all of Jolly Good's social channels. I'm talking Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, or whatever the hell they call it. And
or you can vote at.
And you can also vote at, thank you, Kelly. Where can they vote?
MadeInWis.org. So MadeInWis.org. And
Jolly Good is also my number one choice for old-fashioned floaters. All right. It's the best gosh darn soda this side of the Mississippi or that side. Get your soda, jollygoodsoda.com or at grocery stores in Wisconsin. Folks, Fleet Farm. They have an auto service center. Did you know that? And that's your one-stop shop when it comes to making your car ready for those brutal Midwest winters. They've got all the essentials when it comes to car care, like oil, lube, wiper blades, batteries, and more. Plus, check out their huge selection of top tire brands and make sure your car stays on the right track. Well, actually, your car shouldn't really be on the tracks because then it'd be a train. But make sure your car stays on the road when those roads get slippery. Get ready for your Midwest winter driving over at the Fleet Farm.
They also have a great selection of window
scrapers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did that video.
Yeah, we did.
When you were the scraper guru.
Selecting the scraper.
Yeah, there's a bunch there. They also probably have some kitty litter or whatever if you get in a ditch. They have a lot of stuff for like winter driving.
Kitty litter is kind of expensive for that, though.
Sand?
I think you just go big old bag of sand.
Big old bag. The way you said that was funny.
Big old bag of sand.
Yeah. But anyway, it's all at the Fleet Farm.
It's at the Fleet Farm. And folks, if you really want to support the podcast, head on over to ManitowocMinute.com or Cripescast.com, because that is where we have tour dates, merchandise, like this Tell Your Folks I Says Hi sweatshirt that Colleen is wearing. And I didn't even force her to wear it. She was just wearing it today. Well, that's what's up. Thanks, Colleen. Mm-hmm. Shout out. You can use the truck on Friday. We've also got Oktober coming up.
Yep.
Oktober. Now, my mom actually runs the merch, and she always comes up with this whole Oktober theme, and it's very fun. If you spend $100 or more on the merchandise at Cripescast.com, you're getting a free Blaze Orange Ope beanie. So all you gun hunters out there, get ready. Or just people who like fall. Blaze Orange is the style of fall if you're a vegan. And if you're a hunter, we know what it really is. It means don't shoot. I'm in this tree stand. I'm aiming at a deer. It starts October 1st, lasts the whole month. So get your Blaze Orange Oat Beanie for free when you spend $100 or more on ManitowocMinute.com.
Perfect.
And also behind the scenes, extended cuts, first look at show tickets, check it out, patreon.com/CharlieBarons. And with that, let's get back to my conversation with Kyle Kinane.
Are you a Bears fan?
Oh man, I'm such a non-sports guy. I'll show you. This is what I got made. I'm not a sports guy at all. But I got this hat made just to answer.
Chicago suburbs.
Just to answer, well, what part of Chicago? And like, I'll just start wearing his hat around.
Did you make that?
There's a company that like does the embroidery. So I'm like, oh, they do the sports fonts. I'm like, all right, yeah, just have it say that.
Do you sell those or?
No, this company just made them. I think I think I'm leaving money on the table, but yeah. it was a one-off.
Is that kind of the vibe of a lot of Chicago suburbs where they're not really into any of it or?
Oh no, I just didn't grow up with the sports. I mean, everybody's got some claim to it cuz you know, you travel enough, which I'm sure. Are you Milwaukee proper? What do you tell people where are you from?
I get you. Yeah, I do the same thing for Milwaukee cuz I'm from the suburbs of Milwaukee. I think you know, kind of like born in Milwaukee and then moved out to one of the suburbs and then another one, and then there's like three different suburbs, you know, that we lived in.
Every time somebody's like, "What part of Chicago are you from?" Like, "Well, it's out where the tornadoes start."
Yeah.
That's the best distance, at least, that I can describe how far from downtown.
When you had tornadoes as a kid, did your folks like watch from the porch or did you guys get in the basement?
Yeah. No, it was thunderstorms were a celebration.
Yeah.
My mom loved thunderstorms and that, like I do too. I think they're a blast.
They are.
You know. I wish, but it was always, yeah, we'd always be outside or, you know, you'd sit in a garage if it was going crazy.
Yeah.
And then I just distinct memories of my mom freaking, like, she'd be like, those birds are flying weird. Oh, it's debris. It's debris. Like that was the sign of the tornado. It was if the trash was like in a weird high up spot. And it was like, that's debris. And we had to do two things, which was like grab the little black box, all the house paperwork.
Yeah.
Like of all the mortgage papers and find the cat. That was two things. It was like they yell at my sister, get the cat, and me to get the black box, and then we got to run in the basement.
Yeah, there's very rare times where you actually make it to the basement, you know? That siren goes off. That's like a dinner bell for the show, you know? The show's about to start.
I mean, I'm not like that's not making light of like how gnarly it is. We were always like the suburb over Lombard was always a spot where it's always like, there's somebody saw a funnel cloud over Glenbard East, which is the high school. Like that was just close enough to us to be like, we could sit on a porch until like the warning is within maybe like 5 miles. Like, all right, now we got to get in the basement.
Yeah.
But yeah, they never hit Addison. Yeah, they never hit Addison.
Back then there wasn't really that, you know, there wasn't the app on your phone where you could literally see the radar. So, you know, like how screwed you are. At any given time. So you kind of just played it by the feel, by the debris, as you say.
By the emergency warning system on the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was like, if that came on, you were like, oh, shit's real. It's going down. That was usually the indicator. If it was like, yep, it's for real now.
Yeah, if you actually have a touchdown with it.
Yeah, it's a little thrill. It's a little summertime thrill, you know?
Have you ever gone your way up to the UP and done any shows up there?
I haven't done shows in the UP. I was camping there two summers ago. I don't know if we made it all the way up to UP on that one, but that was like early comedy was the Upers for me. Introduced to the Upers like as a child.
Yeah.
Like a 6 year old, like the first time you hear grandma got run over by a reindeer, right? Like studio recording quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These guys are singing about farts and beer. I like it.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I listened to them as a kid too. What's like, what's sort of the biggest difference living in Oregon versus, first of all, do you grow up calling it Oregon?
I think I did. Yeah, I think I called it that, and then I never met anybody from there to correct me.
Yeah. I did a show out there, my first show out there, I called it that just out of habit. And I told myself not to say that on, but then I did. Yeah. And what can you do? But what's that?
That's all right. Cause you know, there's Astoria, New York. Like it's a neighborhood in Brooklyn is Astoria.
Yeah.
But there's Astoria, Oregon, but they pronounce it Astoria.
Astoria.
And I thought everybody was just being jerks. Like, oh, it's good to be here in Astoria. I'm like, yeah, he's really giving them the screws. Hey, we Astoria. That's kind of mean to say. They're like, no, that's how we pronounce it here. I'm like, why? It sounds terrible. You're wrong.
Spelled
I know
that
you live
way.
Here. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's one S. It's Astoria. Guys, get it together.
What would you say like the biggest difference is living out there versus like the Midwest?
I mean, difference wise, I don't know. I think everything got kind of homogenized with the internet. Like every scene is like, if you're into music, you get to find what music you like online and start that band in your town.
Yeah.
food or this or that. I've been up here 3 years. So a lot of that was pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of it is just getting used to like it just started right like this. It went from summer and now it started being gray and rainy and it's going to be this way for 7 months and that's it. You just deal with it. Everything you do, you're just going to go and be wet. Anything you want to do, you don't use an umbrella, put on your raincoat. You want to jog, you jog in your raincoat. You run, ride bikes, you ride bikes in your raincoat. Yeah. Hang out, sit on the street corner talking to your neighbors in the rain with your raincoat. It's accepted. And I'm kind of having a hard time adjusting to that. Because, I mean, I hate winter. I hate, like, from, like, a little kid, as soon as, like, you went from playing in the snow to having to shovel it to go to work, I'm like, yeah, I don't like the season at all. I don't snow. I don't ski. I don't snowboard. I never embraced any of the winter sports. So that's when it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. And you like at the time it was like, well, there's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. I'm like, if I'm going to be sad, like if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach. Yeah. It's harder to be sad in Los Angeles than it is New York.
That's true. Where'd you move? Or when did you move out to LA?
I got out there in 2003.
So you like put in what 3-4 years of comedy in Chicago and then.
Yeah, I did 4 years. Yeah, I did 4 years there. And then it kind of, because and I don't know your history in comedy so much, like how long before you moved or what have you, but it was, you could do those shows I was talking about, like the snowmobile shows, and guys would come back to the open mics that were like, they quit their job and they're going to go do these triple runs and all those kind of things. And they're like, well, yeah, I had to drive 9 hours in a blizzard to get to the next gig and I made $60 there. And then it was 12 hours to the next show and I made $75 there. And I'm like, that sounds like I would hate that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, that would ruin my love for comedy if I tried to make a living out of it from Chicago.
Right.
So I was like, I'll just take my chance and move to California and see if I could like build up a reputation there. So then I can go and do those same runs, but for like $130 instead of $60.
Right. Right. Did you, cause you were coming up, at that point, there wasn't like social media was the thing popping you off or anything. So did you start off or what mics were you starting off with?
In, you mean in LA or?
Yeah, in LA.
It was, I'm not a real self-starter. So I could admit that I got out there and I was just having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was sunny and all my friends just got out there. And so I do the improv a little bit here and there. There was parts where, maybe I sound like a jerk, but you go to the Laugh Factory, excuse me. And the Laugh Factory would have this line around the block. Like, well, you got to sign up. You got to get in line at 4 o'clock.
Right.
So to maybe you can get on the list at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
To then do the open mic 3 weeks later. And I just saw that. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, that's just extortion. That's not how you make it. That's all pageantry. That's a lie. Like, that's not how you get good at comedy. Like, I still am trying to like write stuff and develop. And so the improv, I knew guys that had put on shows there and I kind of got on the regulars list there. But just like, I mean, I based everything on music, how I saw bands that I like, you know, underground bands just playing shows wherever they could and building up an actual following as opposed to some flash in the pan. Who's the hot thing now? Cause I mean, I got to LA when Dane Cook was like the Lord of comedy.
Right.
You know, not to say I'm sure the guy's, you know, fine with his pile of money right now, but it still seemed like temporary to me, even though it was like the biggest thing in the world. I'm like, I don't know about the sustainability and getting caught up. Like I still remember the 80s hair metal scene and not a lot of those bands stuck around, right, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't want that momentary fame. I want some like slow burning, like, let me just be able to keep doing this kind of thing. So I saw it was kind of the beginning of the alternative, quote unquote, alternative scene.
Yeah.
You know, beginning of the 2000s. So seeing people like Patton Oswalt or like pre movie famous Zach Galifianakis and stuff do all these weird shows and be experimental, like, oh, I want to be around that stuff.
Yeah, that is a more sustainable. I feel like getting skyrocketed into fame real quick comes with a lot more it's a lot more burden, because then all of a sudden, you know, if you're kind of like steadily growing, you've got the opportunity to get up there and like try some new stuff and really bomb and eat it, you know, and learn something. Yeah. Whereas if you're always feel like you got to be like super there, you know, that can be, I feel like that could be detrimental. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you get to make all these, you know, micro adjustments as you're growing, as opposed to like, oh, you blew up with this one thing. Now you're world famous, but anything you do is going to be examined and dissected, and we're gonna look to take you down because now you're top of the food chain. Somebody's gonna look to take you down. Where it's like sneaking along, all of a sudden, like, oh, this guy's funny. Also, LA was like, you saw people that had like 99% hustle and 1% talent get opportunities and then blow those opportunities because they didn't have the talent to back up what they hustled for themselves.
100%.
And inversely, I also saw people with 99% talent and 1% hustle just kind of hang back, waiting for something to happen to them. I was like, nah, I think it's more of like an 80-20 split. You got to go on this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is true. Like, you know, LA is the place where there's, you know, networking is king, at least for the time when I first got out there. And it was like, I was so bad at that stuff. Mm. Man, and auditioning, you know, if you can get an audition, but yeah, then there's so much pressure on that 30 seconds you're in front of a casting director. I was so bad at that. Do you audition a lot?
No, I mean, I moved out there to be a stand-up. Yeah. I you'd get it. Like, some stuff would happen. I remember like walking into like the waiting room and seeing the guy who should get the job. I'm like, this guy's hilarious. You should give it to him.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm going to go home. This guy's funny. Okay. Congratulations, buddy. You deserve this.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I kind of divorced myself from the showbiz part of stuff a few years back where like, I'm just doing stand up. And if somebody would like me for a thing, then I'd be happy to do it. But this to stay in town and drive all over all day doing auditions. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
No, no. I remember doing that for like commercials. That was the worst, man. Because you spend 2 hours round trip getting to Santa Monica from North Hollywood. And then you like smile the wrong way. And I got a bad authentic smile, or, you know, or like a bad pretend smile. I don't know if my authentic one's any better, but I could not do that commercials. But so much time wasted just driving.
Yeah, I don't believe that you sincerely appreciate the absorbency of these paper towels that you're trying to sell right now.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, they're going to clean up my tears and maybe some blood later because they towed my minivan I live in. Will that sell them? Will that help sell them?
You got to use it. Use what you got.
Okay, let me go a little more method with these paper towels. I didn't mean to kill her. Oh, God. When did you live out there?
I lived out there twice. I lived out there when I first graduated for a year. I was at a production company. And then I went around the country doing news, of all things, because that's what I went to school for. And then I moved back and I did some like red carpet reporting, which is the worst kind of reporting you can do. Hated that stuff. Like
the step and repeat things that it were.
No one wants to be on a red carpet. Not the people who are there, not the people who are asking the questions, you know?
There's a couple of things that I had participated in where that was the option. And I'm like, can I just walk around the back of this? Nobody knows who I am. I'm like, is there a side door? I'm just trying to get to the open. I just want to get to the open bar and watch the movie. Can I just go around? Nobody knows who I am. I look like I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's kind of the way I would do it. I would always talk to the people like that I didn't know who they were. And I don't think they knew why they were talking to me. And I was just trying to get something, you know, and I would have like four of those. And then I get back to the office. They'd be like, who's this? I was like, I don't know. Let's just post it. I don't know. You
know? I think he was doing the lighting. I don't know. It's the behind the scenes. That's what you got to appreciate these things.
It's the art. That's a journal. It couldn't have been done without this guy, you know?
Yeah, it's a get to know you moment. You know, it's a real, more of a local news. Like, find out who's picking up your trash.
Right.
Who's the guy? Humanize these people.
Exactly. So you're out. And then, like, when kind of would you say, that, you know, you got to a place where you felt like, you know, this is my thing. This is my career. I'm making money doing this. It's feeling good. I'm confident in it.
Honestly, maybe like 6 months ago. I bought a house this year. And that was like after 20 plus years of doing stand up, I'm like, all right, I think this thing might be working out. Let's go ahead and have a little semblance of permanence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I bought a little tidy house. And even then, as soon as I did that, I'm like, well, what if, I don't know, what if something comes up where I drew some racist stuff on a picture of my sister's kittens on Facebook 13 years ago, and that comes out and my career's over? Like all of it, just the paranoia of like, what if you're just not funny anymore? And this is the moment that you're not funny anymore, is the moment you owe a bank money. So
yeah,
I think that's just a Midwest thing of like, You don't bet on yourself. You're like, well, it's good. It's good. But I don't know. Some shit could happen. I don't know.
I do think that's a Midwest mentality thing. Cause you're always, you grow up surrounded by that, you know, and probably for good reason. It keeps you humble, keeps you working hard, you know, but
yeah,
doesn't always give you the most confidence when you're making life-changing financial decisions.
No, or the idea that like nobody deserves good fortune. So like if you get some good fortune, it makes you even more paranoid because I'm like, well, now something's bad has to go wrong. Like nothing bad has happened in a while. So now I'm just like, because things have been fine, I'm like, something's something's around the corner.
I got that same thing. Were you raised Catholic by chance?
Of course, man. Yeah. Where do you think this shit comes from?
I know. It's like you grow up with the fear of hell, and then at some point you're like, ah, hell's not real. You know, that's not gonna be the deal. And then you have to constantly fill that void of hell in your life to find something to make a hell happen. You know?
Hell's not real, but now who do I ask forgiveness from on a regular basis if I don't believe in God anymore?
Right.
What hippie tree god can like let a leaf fall in my path that says, you're fine today, buddy. Calm down.
See, I've taken it where like I believe in God. I believe in heaven. Some version of that. I've just taken out the bad part of it. I'm like, yeah, you know, if the God in my mind, what's the point of that? Logically, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, logically, the whole world doesn't make sense. But and then I'll just fill that bad void with, you know, I'm gonna be like, my car is gonna get repossessed, and then lo and behold, that happens. You know, so
you've delta aided yourself into religion. Like, well, you see, like these discrepancies here really balance out with the positives.
Yeah, I don't know. That's so funny. As soon as you were describing that stuff, I was like, "Dan, he's Catholic. That's it, right there. Raised Catholic."
Yeah. Yeah, and it hit me hard too. There was like a moment where I was like, well, if everything's a sin, I don't know, like what? Yeah. like confession, like when you don't even feel good after confession because you didn't tell them the things you wanted to confess. Oh, like, here's the moment to scrub it all off. You're like, I swore in front of my mom. You're like, that wasn't even close to what I wanted to tell them.
Yeah, I would make up stuff in confession because I didn't want to say the stuff I actually wanted to confess. Yeah. I'm like, I can't say this stuff in church, you know?
Yeah, the stuff I'm doing to my body right now, buddy, it is wild. And then you look back, you're like, thank God I didn't tell that guy that stuff. Thank God I dodged the bullet. Oh, we got a little freak on our hands. All right. You'd be great for after school service. Like, yeah, I avoided that shit.
Did you go to a Catholic school?
No, I just did CCD.
CCD.
Sunday school.
Yeah. So. I did some of that too. Yeah. It's a crazy thing. Yeah. Anyway, where are you playing? You're playing Milwaukee, right? Coming up.
Playing Milwaukee, playing old Pabst Theater.
Pabst Theater. God, that's a great venue, man.
I was excited. I was playing Turner Hall, and now I'm doing the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. They're like, we're going to put you into Pabst. And again, it's like that. I don't know. It's like a big thing. Like, it'll be fine. I'm like, I don't know if I deserve the Pabst. Turner Hall was nice. They got the netting up because the old ceiling falls on the audience. Like, that's kind of my speed, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot more room work that you can do in Turner Hall, you know, with the netting and the bar in back, you know, the Pabst is gorgeous, you know, they got ghosts there though. So you can.
Oh, of course they do. That. Well, Turner Hall is like, Turner Hall is just $50 handed to a building inspector every time they come in here. Like, you can't be having people. How about a little one of these guys? Okay. This just bought you 6 more months of being a entertainment venue. That's classy.
Yeah, it is. They got a cool,
which
green
is a
room
phrase
too.
You'd never say anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. That's cool. So when is that coming up?
That is, I believe, is it October 7th soon? I'm going to have to look. Let me go to the charts. October 7th. Yeah, like soon, a couple weeks.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah, it's a great venue. Super fun there.
I'm excited. Yeah. I opened for Patton Oswalt there maybe 12 years ago. So to be playing those venues myself now feels pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Congrats on that. Congrats on that. That'll be super cool. Are you, you've been to Milwaukee a few times. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you like doing there aside for Walski's? You got to hang out there.
Walski's was fun. I remember, I'm sure it's like a tourist place now, but learning about the Safe House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, getting to go to the Safe House before, like, I remember going up to do the open mic at the Safe House. when I still lived in Chicago and not realizing what the bar was. Like, I just, like, we made a little pilgrimage, like, let's do an open mic somewhere else, you know? And seeing a guy like Tom Clark and stuff, like, oh, they got whole different kind of guys that are funny up here.
Yeah.
But the Safe House was just, it's such a neat place that, you know, now social media is going to point out anything that's neat and it won't be that neat anymore.
I know. That's so, the thing with social media, man.
I remember I went to 1996. I went to me and my buddies. We're in community college and we had our spring break. Like, what should we do? And we're like, let's go to Milwaukee. We went to Atomic Records. And I think we might have stopped at the Mars Cheese Castle on the way back down.
Oh, yeah.
Spring break in Milwaukee, 96.
Well, you being in the suburbs, too, you must have been surrounded by people that would go up to Lake Geneva and whatnot, have a lake house somewhere in Wisconsin.
Oh, that was, yeah, one of my earliest jokes was how many fake businesses I can make up that, what's his name that does Wisconsin Dells?
Oh, Tommy Bartlett?
Tommy Bartlett, yeah. I'm like, I just went by Tommy Bartlett's Planned Parenthood and Tommy Bartlett's nuclear collider.
Like, yeah. Did you go to Wisconsin Dells as a kid?
Oh, yeah. We went to Dells as a kid. We'd go camping at the Yogi Bear campgrounds.
Yeah.
We'd get in trouble being shit-faced at the Yogi Bear campgrounds.
Did you go to the water slides?
We didn't do this. You know what we did? We did the Big Chief race carts.
Oh.
Which I thought was fascinating because, yeah, the wooden spiral for go-karts and the track. Like, I truly miss unsanctioned, adventure rides that clearly have been sued out of existence nowadays. Yeah. Not to be like, oh, back in my day, again, the same thing with the guy with the helmet. Like, these, there's a lot of these things that should be gone, but when you got to hang out, like the Alpine slides and stuff, yeah, absolutely.
Now they've got their go-kart races, the big Trojan horse.
Okay.
They've got this big wooden Trojan horse there, and that's what the go-karts are around. It's awesome.
And I saw a kid. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying that an upside down White House. I mean, it's a magical place. The Wisconsin Dells is.
I saw a kid get spun out on the because you go down the wooden ramp on the go-karts, which if you were a kid, the go-karts, you know, you stuck to it. But if you were an adult of weight, you would just hit those bumps and just shoot down. I saw one kid get smacked. It's like his helmet was sideways. And he somehow drove out of the service entrance for the track and was just driving around where the people were walking to get in line. And the employees were like, no, no. And this kid had his helmet covered his face. Like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, this place rules.
Yeah, it's a magical place. Oh, last question, because we had some fan questions. I think I got them all, but I wanted to ask this. How did you end up getting the voice of Comedy Central?
Oh, I think I just had done some stand-up for them. And then it was a real soft takeoff into that job. Also a soft landing. Like, oh, you want to come in and read some of these ads? I'm like, all right, sure. Hey, South Park's coming up. Like, hey, you want to come in next week? Read some of these ads? Like, yeah, all right. I'm like, are you guys going to pay me? What's going on here? Like, all right, come in next week and do it. Like, and then I just all of a sudden had that job.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they were auditioning people, but I was like, oh, I took it from somebody else. But it was like Penn Jillette was who was doing it before me. I'm like, oh, wow. I think he's doing all right.
Yeah,
right. I think he's doing just fine. But then now my buddy David Borey does that job. He got it the same way.
Did he?
He went up to me. We were out one night and he's like, hey man, are you still doing those Comedy Central voiceovers? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Why? He's like, oh, because I'm doing them now too. I'm like, all right, I guess this is how I find out I'm getting fired.
Were those the kind of things where you get paid each time you did it?
I just had I think I got paid monthly.
Yeah.
Here's the flat fee for a month. And it was,
I got you.
It was such, it felt like theft. It was such an easy job to do. And I would take the little recording kit with me on the road and So I, you know, I was glad that I had it for, well, I had it.
Yeah.
And then it went now and went to somebody that's cool. So like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Nice. Can't get mad about that.
No, not at all. Well, I know we got you for an hour, man. So I'll let you get back to whatever you're doing today. If you got some mountain biking or going to take a jump or something. Or
just being damp. I'm just going to sit here and be damp for the rest of the day.
Go have a damp beer outside or whatever.
That's probably about it.
Awesome. Oh, man, I had such a good time talking to him. Big thanks to Kyle for coming on the show. Make sure you see him live. He's got tickets, kylekinane.com. He'll be in Milwaukee October 7th at the Pabst Theater, as he said in the podcast. Follow him on all platforms at Kyle Kinane. And make sure you follow us at CripesCast, at Charlie Barons, at Man to Walk Minute. We'll see you on the socials. We'll see you out there in the wild. Don't forget, come to Vegas. Come to Wichita, Kansas City, Springfield, Evansville. Can't wait to see you on the road. Everybody, do keep her moving. Watch for deer. Colleen Maraca, thank you so much for being the executive producer. Shout out to Hannah Milos for editing. And I hope all of you have yourselves a wonderful fall.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot in the walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.